there is a great need for the performance of HD head. But by my seeing it, or some scholar seeing that word in this time, it holds no water unless you support it with proof. And this ijtihad was done in one of the most remarkable cases in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remarkable. The Muslims had just gotten together to perform, they won an expedition, and they had gotten together to perform Salatul Subh, Salatul Fajr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to go out, and he went at a great distance to do his hajj, or to do his numbers. And he would stay very far away from the Muslims so as not to, you know, create any problems for them. And he stayed an extraordinarily long time. It created problems because here you have Fajr prayer to perform, and we know the window for performance of Salatul Fajr is narrow. And that all of the Muslims are there to perform their prayer, and Rasulullah is not there. But he is there, but at a distance. What do you do? He is not there at that present moment for you to ask him the question, Ya Rasulullah, what do we do? And he did not leave instruction as to who should lead the prayer in my absence. Subhanallah, mushkila ya akhi, problem. What would we have done? La ilaha illallah. They exercised their ijtihad and they made effort in finding a solution to the problem. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he was the one who was selected to lead the prayer. He goes up to lead the prayer. And when he goes up to lead the prayer, and it was in the Ghazwat al-Tabuk, when they had to go on that particular battle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after one raka'ah had finished, he returns. Problem. Here's Abdul Rahman ibn Auf leading the prayer, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns. When he returns, the people started to signal to him, and Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu, he made attempts to tell Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, look, Rasulullah is here. Hey kid, move out of the way. Look, Rasulullah is here, man. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. He stopped Mughira from trying to draw Abdul Rahman ibn Aws. Ibn Auf's attention. He stops him and he joins Fakabbara fi Saf. He says Allahu Akbar and he joins the Sufuf, he joins the ranks of the Muslims. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is in front and he's leading the prayer. When the prayer was finished by Abdul Rahman, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands up. And he continues the prayer. Now I'm going to tell you what a problem I have here. Okay? And I don't know if maybe you can call me in Trinidad and give me an answer. Mughira ibn Shu'bah, I cannot say from the hadith until and unless we look at the shuruh, I cannot say if he was there and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined in, or whether Mughira was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and two of them came in, two of them missing one raka'ah, and Rasulullah having to stand up. You know what Mughira did? He stood up together with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complete the prayer. So I cannot tell if Mughira performed three rak'ah or two. I hope you all follow the problem. And please, I cannot answer the question. Alright? I cannot tell if Mughira performed three rak'ah because he's saying, this is Rasulullah and he's standing up and he's next to me. How can I finish my prayer and he is praying and I don't pray with him? Or is it that he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his hajj, and he came back with him, so they performed the prayer together. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when the prayer is finished, he says, "Ma qabadallahu ruha nabiyyin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never takes the soul of a prophet. Illa waqad salla khalfa wahidan min ummatihi. Subhanallah. Except that he would have prayed behind one of his ummah. Every prophet. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. So it was this time it was written that this is what must happen. So look at the sharaf, look at the position that was granted to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, that he would lead the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in prayer. So again, what we're seeing here, this gives us the answer to which question, my brothers? The question as to whether it is an essential part of this ummah to exercise ijtihad. And this gives us proof for that ability and that permissibility to do that. Not only that, but you find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he exercised, or he gave permission to the sahabas to exercise a lot of ijtihad and to make effort and to put forward their opinions. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were harsh upon them, they would have dispersed from around you. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. Forgive them. وَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Ask for their... Be easy with them and forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And seek for their forgiveness. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And consult them in matters. What is your opinion? What is your opinion? What is your opinion? Rasulullah was instructed to seek from the Sahabas, his companions, their opinions. But look at the remarkable thing. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who is his teacher? The Lord of the universe. Does Rasulullah need to consult any of his companions for anything when he has for his teacher, the creator of the heavens and the universe? He does not need his sahabas to consult them. Yet still, despite this fact, he is instructed, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and consult them in matters of the moment. And so, you would find then that this type of scenario, this type of situation occurred in many different ways, one of which is that the Sahabas would exercise ijtihad in the understanding, alright, in the understanding of what the nas or what the text of the Quran or of the Sunnah means. And in the case of, for instance, Amr, he went with a group of Sahabas. So they were out in the open. He came in a state of uncleanliness, in a state of janabah. And he was scared to, he said to himself that if he touched the water, he would have been killed, because he would have gotten bad sickness, and he would have probably died because the water was very, very cold. I know, I can tell you how the water can be cold in Medina in the winter months especially. Subhanallah. And he looked at the ayah of Quran, وَلَا تَقُتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and do not kill yourselves. And he performed tayammum and he led the sahabas in prayer. Sahabas who were with him for that Fajr prayer. And he came back and informed, when they found out about what happened, they informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody was going to be doubtful about whether their Salatul Fajr was accepted or not from among the Sahabas. No. Not like us. La ilaha illallah. But that's the next story. And he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was my understanding of the ayah. وَلَا تَقُتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't kill yourselves. If I'm in a state of janabah, and here we are out in the open, and the water is exceedingly cold, and if I were to take a bath before the performance of Fajr, I will die. That's it. So I performed tayammum, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith says, فَتَبَسَّمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiles. In another revival of that hadith, وَدَحِكْ. And he laughed. La ilaha illallah. Now, by the way, the laugh or the smile of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not taken lightly by the scholars. His very smile or his very laugh is approval. It's not okay, you laugh or I laugh, that's, it's nothing. When Rasulullah laughs, it's approval of the situation. I hope you understand me, my brothers. Not only is it in the the understanding of the ayah or the nas or that particular text, but they would exercise their ijtihad or they would make effort in understanding in what is required by the text. I wonder if you see the difference between this and the first. What is required by the text is slightly different to what you understand by the words. In both majal, in both categories, the Sahabas exercised their understanding, or exercised their ijtihad, sorry. Not only that, but they exercised their ijtihad in an even more dangerous area, the area in which you do not have a nas, you do not have a text, and that you have to come up with something, you have to explain or you have to solve a problem that is in front of you, that you are faced with. The Quran tells us, walillahil hamd, about the differences in standard in which people would do ijtihad. In other words, if we have four different people and four different imams, you would not expect, because they are four separate different individuals, you would not expect that all of them would have the same level of ijtihad. Now, here, we are not here to say which one is better and which is worse. No. But because they are different people and different personalities and faced with different situations and having different accesses, that their understanding and their interpretations and their judgments and their efforts will be different. Human beings. The Quran tells us about this tafawut and these differences in standards and levels and the diversity in the ijtihad. And it endorses it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعَتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says basically in this ayah, if only they were to take their masail, their difficulties and their problems, back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also wa ila ulil amri minhum, and the people of understanding and those people who have the amr, who are in position from among them, minhum. So we are talking about those, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the close companions from around him. La alimahu alladhina yastanbitunahu minhum. Then they would have taught them, yastanbituna, those people who are able to extract and to extricate from the text the law and the interpretation and the understanding for the people. The word istinbat, and if you call somebody a mustanbit, he is able to look at the nusus that come from the Quran and the Sunnah and interpret it and give you an understanding and clarify it for you. And this quality here that the ayah is speaking out was not limited to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. Wa ulil amri minhum, but also to those people who were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa laula fadlullahi alaykum, and if it wasn't for the fadl and for the bounty of Allah upon you, wa rahmatuhu, and his mercy, lattaba'tumu shaytan. In other words, then the ayah is telling us, had you not done this, you would have been following shaytan. An important lesson for us, my brothers, that if you in this time, if it is you, do not seek the proper authorities to put your questions towards who it is you're following. La ilaha illallah. It's serious, ya akhi. And the authority here, the ayah is diversifying from not only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but ulil amri minhum, but those who have that capability from amongst you. From amongst them. لَاتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. You would have followed shaitan had you not done this. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Except a little. وَقَدْ خَصَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made some people with this particular quality of istinbat and istidlal, that ability to look at the nusus and to come up with the right understanding. People have different capabilities and potential and capabilities, and they were granted these favors and they were taught that knowledge. And so we realize from that short discourse here before that it is essential for us to make ijtihad, and that there is, when we make that ijtihad, there is going to be differences of opinion, or there is going to be different positions that those who make that ijtihad will come to, and that even if it was between the a'imma, like we spoke about Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad, or whether it was the Imam and his companions, those who were close around him, like the followers Abu Yusuf, the follower of Imam Abu Hanifa, and those who were with him, those who were in his company, they would have taken from him on the basis of the adilla, on the basis of the proof, and they had the choice also to reject the position of the Imam. Okay, we'll look at some of these things as we go along, inshallah. It is a clear case with regards to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, that he would take from the position, he was referred to as a Hanbali Shaykh, but he would take from the position of Imam Ahmad, and in some cases and sometimes he would reject the position of the Imams, for instance, concerning Salatu ala al-Ghaib, that somebody who had died outside of this particular city, should you perform Salah for him or not? Here, when somebody has died many miles away, let us say. And the position of some of the ulama is that yes, you perform it. Itlaqan. Absolutely, perform Salat al-Ghaib. No matter if the person died in Saudi Arabia or India or Pakistan or whatever, or Trinidad. The other group of scholars say, no, you don't perform it at all, because, I mean, look where he is. Shaykh al-Islam comes up with a uniquely different position, and he says that if you have proof that no one has performed Salatul Janaza for that person where he has died, Muslim, then it is incumbent upon you to perform, to do the duty and do the right of your Muslim brother. But if you have evidence that Salatul Janaza was performed for that person, no matter where he may be, then you are exonerated. There is no performance of Janaza upon you. His proof for that was that the leader of the country where the Muslims made their first hijra in Africa, what was it? Ethiopia, was it? You all recall? And when they made... No, it's Abyssinia. Well, Ethiopia it would be called at this time, would it? To Abyssinia. When they had made that first migration, that the leader of the people at that time, he became a Muslim and he passed away, and no one performed janaza for him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he performed janaza for that great leader. He was a Nasrani and he became Muslim and before janaza for him in Medina. But how many were the Sahabas other than him who had left Medina and went to various parts who died and Rasulullah did not perform Salah for them? Clearly, which is the most accepted position. So, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, who came 500 years after Imam Ahmad, he did not limit himself to just the position of Imam Ahmad, but he exercised his ijtihad. And the position is clearly the correct position. You can't find a fault with it. Wallahi alhamd. And so, what are the usul? What are those things that we consult when we are exercising ijtihad? The first, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No question about that. The second, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And third, is there a third? And this is important to emphasize, Ya Akhil Kareem, the Salaf of this Ummah. The Salaf of this Ummah. Those people who were qualified and those people who were rallied around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from among the Sahabas and from among the Tabi'een. وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, and those who followed them in righteousness. By the way, you are free to ask me, my brother, what is your prophecy in making such a statement? Do you see it in Quran? Insha'Allah, yes, we see it in Quran. And I'll tell you what Imam al-Shafi'i said, not me. I pull myself out of these situations. Let's hear what Imam al-Shafi'i had to say. Imam al-Shafi'i visited Makkah and he said, Ya Ahla Makkah, Saluni Amma Shi'tum. O people of Makkah, ask me whatever you wish. Saluni Amma Shi'tum, Ujibukum Anhu Min Kitabillah. I will answer you from the Book of Allah. Imam, standing up in front of his people and he says to them, ask me anything that you want and I will answer you from the Book of Allah. فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ, a man stood up and he said, أَخْبِرْنَا عَنْ رَجُلٍ مُحْرِمٍ, tell us about a man who is in a state of ihram. You know the two pieces of clothing, these, and he's going to perform the hajj, he's in a state of ihram. يَقْتُلُ الزَّنْبُور, Ya Ubaid, he kills a zanbur, and I do not know what a zanbur is. Maybe inshallah tomorrow we'll check up a dictionary and tell you inshallah. He kills a zanbur. Mada alayhi, then what is upon him? There are certain categories of animals that you are permitted to kill when you are in a state of ihram. Like the crow and the scorpion and the snake and so on and so on. Even if you were to see it in the haram in the masjid. However, you know that you cannot hunt when you're in a state of ihram. Now, this is not the place for us to go into Masail al-Fiqhiyya. And the person was to kill that, the zanbur. Then what is to be done? Or what is upon him? وَقَالَ إِمَامَ الشَّافِعِيِّ, he says to them, نَعَمْ وَقَرَأَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, he says, yes, I'm going to answer you from the Book of Allah. And he reads from the Book of Allah. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given you to, take it. And what he has prevented you from, then stay away from it. ثُمَّ قَالَ, and then he says, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, in other words, the Quran tells you to take from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let's hear what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي. My sunnah is upon you. Take from my sunnah and from the sunnah of the خلفاء الراشدين, those who are rightly guided from after me. What do we understand? ثم ساق سنده, then what he did, he quoted his isnad, and this is an iman. He quotes his isnad from him back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ila Umar ibn al-Khattab, until Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, that he was asked the same question, that if a muhrim had killed a zanbur, and we leave that open for the time being, inshallah. Alright? Matha alayhi, what is upon him? And Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, la shay, there is nothing upon him. Idhan, فَلَا شَيْءٌ عَلَيْهِ, and then Imam al-Shafi says, in that case, therefore, there is nothing upon him. So when we speak about taking from these three sources, Ya Akhil Kareem, from the taking of the Quran and from the Sunnah and of the Salaf of this Ummah, is not just tongue waggling, no. Look at what Imam al-Shafi has to say on this position. And look at how the Quran connects with the Sunnah, and the Sunnah connects with the Aqwal of the Salaf. So Imam al-Shafi'i, he looks at the Quran and he considers this the Asl al-Awwal, the foundation. And then the Sunnah is Mubayyinan, or it is a clarification of the Quran. And then the Sunnah or the way of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, that this was a mubayyin or a clarification for the Sunnah. So too, the positions of the companions who, apart from the Khulafa al-Rashideen, was an explanation to that. Okay? And so that we see the a'imma, or the positions of the imams of this ummah, this is what it would revolve around. Taking from that source that we have spoken of, and understanding it and putting it in ways in which we can understand and to suit our understanding one and our situations and environment that we find ourselves in. And so these sources that we speak of, and the people who they take this particular course and this trend that they will agree upon, and we only look at the ikhtilaf part, but we have to look at the other side also too. And that is that what they agreed upon, what the Salaf of this Ummah agreed upon, that we also agree with them upon it. And that is the great majority. And what they had ikhtilaf in, and what they had differences in, it would be on the basis of ihtimal, that the possibility of having two and three interpretations. Somebody could track my time and see when. I think we should. Okay, mashallah. So the next issue that we're going to deal with is places that you find certain ikhtilaf, and what are the positions of various imams in different situations. And inshallah, I hope that we come to a conclusion in this next session. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.